You're listening to Rhody Radio, Rhode Island Library Radio Online. Hello, we're your hosts, Dave Bartos and
Lauren Walker. Today, we're talking with Carl Bird and Victor Amoyo from the Codex Prime podcast. Codex Prime is about all things pop culture, be it films, video games, television, books, and everything else in between. Carl Bird is a host of the show as well as the social media chair. He's a DJ with Fleet DJs, and he's very involved in the Providence community, including through the Black Nerd Book Club and the Rhode Island Midnight Basketball League. In addition to co-hosting Codex Prime with Carl, Victor Amoyo is also the host of Do the Film Thing, a film appreciation and analysis podcast. Codex Prime was gracious enough to have me as a guest on their podcast, and now we're excited to host them here on Rhody Radio. Hi, Carl and Victor. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having us.
That was a lovely intro. I don't do intros like that, but you know what? I loved it. And please excuse my, I don't know if you hear my daughter Jasmine. She's just in the back.
Yeah.
She runs the house and she agrees.
I know what that's like. Why do you think I'm in my car?
Yeah. So how did Codex Prime begin? What is your origin story?
Our show began almost 9 years ago, back in 2015. It was myself and two other friends, former co-hosts of the show, Maurice and Aris. And one day we met at a TGI Fridays one random week, and we were thinking about, well, you know, we like nerd stuff. We like video games. We like comics, movies. But, and you know, podcasts are all the rage. So why don't we just, you know, come up with something? So over some mozzarella sticks, we tried to come up with some names and like a general concept of what the show would be. And then eventually we came up with Codex Prime because we wanted to come up with something that's like rather unique and distinct rather than like 100,000th nerd podcast here. Like, so we were off to the races. We began in May 2015. And around our 10th or 11th episode, a few months later, we had Carl join us as the fourth man, fourth host on our show. And then we were a four-person group for about a couple of years. And then 2017, we transitioned to a two-man group with Carl and I. We've been doing it ever since. And yeah, the show's been, you know, just took off like a wave that still hasn't crashed upon the shores. But, you know, we're riding this wave as long as we can.
Nice.
Yeah, that's the story. I was actually the first Codex guest. Oh. We did a show on pro wrestling, and then next thing you know, that was what, episode 4. And then by somewhere in the teens, they said, "Hey, why don't you come on and join the show?" Cool. And yeah, the rest has been history.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we know that Codex Prime has a connection to RI Comic Con, so you know I'm a comic guy too. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So. Episode 49, we have Michael Jim Francesco on the show, who's the program director. And we just end up like establishing that connection, and then we just kind of maintain that friendship. And so then out of nowhere, a couple of years ago, Michael just reached out to me and said, "Hey, we're having a AEW panel. Would you like to moderate it?" I'm like, okay. Once we did that one, and then next thing you know, the year has just been following up, and we've been consistently moderating panels. I think 1 year, I think the most we've done was about 5.
Yeah, that's wild.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then I've also had the chance to moderate a couple panels on my end too. I moderated 2 Star Wars related panels, one with the author Timothy Zahn, getting to hear his whole process about the Grand Admiral Thrawn character, and also another panel I did was with Ahmed Best, I forget her name, the actress who played Aunt Beru in Obi-Wan Kenobi. And a couple other performers as well. You know, that was a very nice experience.
That's awesome.
It is really cool. And you've had some pretty high-profile guests on your show. Who are some of your favorite guests you've had over the years?
Ooh, some of my favorite. Lloyd Anoa'i, who's a member of the famous Anoa'i wrestling family. He was one, and I still maintain a friendship with him today. Mike Zapsik from the AMC's Comic Book Men was a lot of fun. There was some really, really good ones.
Yeah,
Sean Colon.
Yeah, Yep, well, one of your recent guests. We've also had a Chuck and Brad, the comedy duo. Shout out to them, because that was one of my all time favorite episodes of Codex Prime, because like the energy was just colossal right off the bat, like yeah, right true. When we hit record. We kind of joked that we call them our variants in a way, because they had a similar dynamic between the two. So it was really nice just chopping it up with them about like comedy and all things nerdverse.
Yeah, it was like a grown man's play date.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. That's a good way of putting it.
But yeah, there was so many more that even I was just surprised. Like, oh my god, I can't believe we actually got this person. And
you're talking about me, right?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Like, your all-time favorite guest.
Of course.
Like, yes. Oh, it was happening.
Cannot believe that we got Lauren Walker from Rhodey Radio to come on Codex Prime. Amazing
world
moment.
Famous. The world famous.
The only assistant director at the Coventry Public Library.
That is absolutely correct.
Yeah, big shout out to Chris Rebel too for linking us up, because it's always a pleasure when we see Lauren too, especially like at the podcast meetups and stuff. Yeah, you missed out on the last one at the cooler.
I did. I was picking up ice cream at Farm Fresh to take home to the fam.
I mean, ice cream.
It would have melted. It's so much fun. For us, I think, being part of a different community, the podcasting community of the state, through you all, and you know, how involved in the community in general you all are. So just to talk about some of your other projects, tell us a little bit about the Black Nerd Book Club.
Yeah, that was something that my cousin Kobe Dennis put me onto. Okay. They was having an event where they would just read comic books to kids and give some out. And I, you know, took Kobe's recommendation, went down there to the event, and then we just hit it off like ever since. And then we've had Sean on the show, and then they recently just became an official nonprofit, and I end up on the board. So
fantastic.
Yeah, so we have like a lot of great events coming up. One that we'll be announcing this Tuesday, as a matter of fact. So make sure you tune in to Codex for that. But so yeah, that's how that came about. So we kind of go to different after school programs, and we do like various activities with the youth in the community. So
that's awesome. And what about the Midnight Basketball League? Where, what is that?
So the Midnight Basketball League was something that has gone on for years, and there's actually different Midnight Leagues that go on throughout the country. So it did stop for a while, where it's like, it's usually just like a bunch of locals will form teams and stuff, and it's like an official league, and they would, you know, play and win a championship at the end of the summer. But you know, for various reasons, they had stopped. So then the Greater Providence YMCA picked it up, and then that. So once that started, I ended up being hired for the YMCA to be one of the there's a term, and I just couldn't think of it at the moment. But
ambassador.
Yeah, thank you, ambassador. No problem. So I became an ambassador, and then I ended up like DJing for a lot of the games throughout the summer. So so yeah, that's what that's about. It's just bringing a lot of people together for something that was, you know, that was so great that so many people did enjoy. So we was able to bring that back for the community as well. And then also we offer like a whole bunch of vendor spaces. So where it's a place where a lot of local businesses, a lot of small businesses can get exposure as well.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah. Before I go to the next written question, I do have a question. Having been podcasting as Codex Prime for 9 years, how has it changed over the course of that 9 years? In what ways has the show developed?
I think it's changed somewhat considerably, like over the last 9 years. Like before, like I mentioned earlier, we began as a 4-person group, and then we eventually became a 2-man group. I think over the from the time we started till now, like, I think just doing it every single week or almost every single week, yeah, it feels more natural than we did the first time. Because like when we first started, it was all just a pre-recorded episode. So we weren't on Facebook Live like we are now. Mm-hmm. We just got together. We had I used to come up with a detailed agenda of like bullet points, things that we would talk about. And then we would kind of go off on that. Over time, I kind of not did away completely with the bullet points, but I have like a vague notion of like, okay, here's a couple of topics we could talk about, and then we can just like let the discussion naturally take us to different directions. So mm-hmm. that kind of like pops up in the moment. So it feels more extemporaneous than it was before, when it was like, okay, we must stick to a structure.
Yeah.
It was just like, okay, we have these bullet points here. Let's just see where it takes us.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels much more conversational than it did when we first started 9 years ago.
Yeah. And we always say too, there has been many times where we're just like, what do we have for tonight? I don't know. Well, let's wing it and see what we come up with. And those usually turn out to be like the most fun episodes that we have.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even when there were times where either Carl or myself or both of us were like, we're not really feeling it. I don't know if we should just like, you know, just call it, just record something for next week. And then next thing you know, like as soon as we hit record, like all of a sudden, boom, light bulbs go off and we just riff and just come up with things on the fly. Yeah, and what really helps too is like being on Facebook Live is having the the viewer interaction, like having them drop comments, and then we can respond to them too. That really keeps it going too.
Also, too, I will say this: like, we would still record during the pandemic, and in a sense, it actually turned into a blessing because, you know, through the power of Zoom, before it decides to just stop failing on us recently, we were able to connect with so many people, you know, with so many people that we have never like connected with. So that ended up being like a part of something that we was able to do. And then we end up adapting that more on a much more regular basis with a lot of the guests that we were able to have.
Yeah. Calling out Zoom right here, this podcast.
Well, we're recording on Riverside, so that's fine. Yeah.
That's right.
We just may convert to that.
Yeah,
we just might, because we've had some technical difficulties with Zoom and our streaming platform that we use to connect to Facebook Live. So
Dave does all the technical stuff, but he seems happy with Riverside.
Yeah.
So I feel like you're the most technical of us at Rhodey Radio. So I think I can say that Emily is in the same boat as me, where we're both like pretty comfortable like editing our own stuff and everything. But sometimes we're just like, Dave, how do we do this?
And I mean, what I think has been so fun about podcasting generally, and I'm sure that you guys have felt this, is how easy it is to do it on a shoestring. You know, we're talking on Riverside, but it's a free account, you know, and I'm currently on my phone in my car. But podcasting is about like having that conversation, and that's what's engaging more so than, you know, sounding like Ira Glass. You know, it's about presenting that conversation to people, and really anyone can do it, which is, you know, thankful because I'm doing it. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love how democratized podcasting has been, and like the barrier of entry is like borderline non-existent.
Yeah. And so you obviously, Victor, didn't have enough to do, and you've started another podcast, Do the Film Thing. So give us the pitch for Do the Film Thing.
Yeah. So Do the Film Thing. It's a film appreciation and analysis podcast. It's an idea that I had for about a year, because prior to this podcast, a decade ago, like around 2013, 2014, I had a YouTube channel, which is still up, where I had in-depth video essays on various films. And so Do the Film Thing can be seen as like a modern spiritual successor to my old YouTube channel in podcast form. And I had this itch of returning back to my like creative roots, so to speak, where I had all these like great films that I wanted to talk about and kind of explore in depth and kind of, you know, have my own corner of the podcasting space where I can kind of like champion media literacy in a way through film.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where Do the Film Thing came to be. Right now I decided to make a seasonal podcast as well. So this season, we're approaching our season finale of 10 episodes. So episode 9 is coming out this Sunday. And so like for me, I one of the things, and I know this might sound weird, but I enjoy writing essays. I enjoy the research, like the whole process of like compiling detailed outlines, and then to the point where like an essay can kind of write itself, and then it's just a matter of like writing a formalized script and then just like putting it out in the world. And so I wanted to do something like that kind of like gets my creative juices flowing and promotes my own passion of film and enthusiasm, and kind of hopefully, you know, gets other people to kind of embrace that a little too. So in my own podcasting corner of the world.
And in season one, what films are you talking about? What can people look forward to?
Yeah, so like the first season, I've talked about some notable Black films that have come out in the 90s and 80s. Like for example, Love Jones, that's my first episode, or it was one of the most beloved and perhaps underrated Black films from the 90s. Mississippi Masala, Eve's Bayou, Do the Right Thing, which, you know, my podcast is kind of named after. One of my all-time favorite films is Mulholland Drive by David Lynch, who's one of my all-time favorite directors. That's when Carl and I kind of go back and forth. I've showed him Mulholland Drive, and it's like the discussions we've had about that film.
They made great content, I'll tell you that.
it tickles me because I'm sitting here talking about like the surrealism of David Lynch, and then Carl's like, what do you it's hilarious.
I feel like Twin Peaks is a better starter David Lynch. I feel like as a TV show, it's more like there's more of a plot to it. It's more linear. Like there's definitely weird Lynchian stuff in it for sure. But I feel like Twin Peaks can like hold your attention, I think. Yeah. Like sometimes with his movies, it's like, what's happening? But Twin Peaks, you like know what's happening mostly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Holland Drive definitely asked you what's happening. you start off good. I'm like, all right, this is an interesting plot. All right, wait, where's this going? What's going on? Huh? What's with the dolls? What's the...
I mean, Silencio. Twin Peaks is kind of like that too.
Yeah. I will say like, yeah, Twin Peaks is definitely an easier barrier of entry because of the story is much more straightforward. But season three, the final season, it definitely goes into some like far out there territory. It's basically David Lynch Unchained. So yeah. Just know that going in.
That's the subtitle.
Yeah.
Twin Peaks season 3, David Lynch Unchained. So for each of you, what are some books and movies that you've read or watched recently that you liked or that you didn't like and would love to talk about why you didn't like it, as we were saying earlier?
I've read a few books I've read recently. One is this really cool sci-fi novel which came out in 2017 called Autonomous by Annalee Newitz. Yeah. That's a really good sci-fi novel. It takes place in the 22nd century, and it's this dystopian world where like capitalism is run amok so much to the degree where people can't buy pharmaceutical drugs, so they have to buy fabricated drugs on the black market in order to survive. And it's about this pirate named Jack who sells this counterfeit drug which alters people's dopamine levels, so which gives them pleasure from working, but to an obsessive degree. So even if it's a most mundane task, if somebody's like painting a wall, then taking that drug, they want to do nothing but paint walls, like to their detriment, sometimes to death. And so there's this mass overdose of this drug that she copied, which causes people to like, you know, drop dead from this overworked drug. So she's trying to get this resolved, and meanwhile she's pursued by this human droid duo, and the droid in the duo is kind of starting to develop feelings that's unknown beyond its programming. So it's a pretty interesting novel in that way.
I gotta write that down. It sounds good.
Yeah.
And then one other book that I highly recommend for any like film buffs or like or fans of Quentin Tarantino is his book called Cinema Speculation which came out a couple years ago. And that book, Tarantino talks about like his upbringing and filtered through the films that he saw as a child growing up in the 70s and the early 80s. So he goes into like in-depth essays about films like Taxi Driver, Sisters by Brian De Palma, Rolling Thunder. And he has some like very astute and very insightful thoughts about not only those films, but also like the culture that surrounded them that gives like a context. So if you're a fan of Tarantino and like just great film criticism in general, especially coming from one of the all-time great directors of the last 30 years, definitely check that book out.
That sounds really interesting. What I have to ask, so I recently saw True Romance for the first time. What's your take on that movie?
True Romance, I didn't like it.
Okay, I didn't like it either. So I wasn't sure if you were going to be one of those like die-hard Quentin Tarantino fans who will love it even though it's maybe not great.
Yeah, it wasn't a great movie, and I appreciated what they were trying to go for, but there was something about the narrative that just didn't really click for me, and then also the, you know, arguably the deeply misogynistic directions it goes to, especially when they introduce James Gandolfini's character. It's like, this is kind of rough, even for the low standards of the 90s. It's just kind of extreme.
Yeah, I think he lost me at Elvis being his imaginary best friend.
Oh yeah, that was odd. I don't think I'm following this.
Yeah, yeah. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like a David Lynch film.
Quentin Tarantino with a David Lynch twist there.
Yeah.
Okay, so True Romance is basically Quentin Tarantino doing an impression of David Lynch. Okay. Is that fair to say?
It's more like his daydream, I think, of like who he thinks, like it's, the plot of it is just like this guy meets this girl and they come across like this whole criminal thing and it just blows out of proportion. There's, of course, it's Tarantino, there's violence, all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, it's Quentin Tarantino being like, this would be a pretty cool thing that would happen. Like, I think he makes up his dream girl and he takes her on his dream adventure. And then Gary Oldman is in it and he has dreadlocks.
Yeah. And also too, like the one thing that bugged me about that movie is that Christian Slater, like he was doing like a blatant Jack Nicholson impression, and I'm like, why is he doing a Jack Nicholson impression? And
then come to find out
that's pretty much what his shtick was like in a lot of his movies coming out in like the late 80s, early 90s. Because I remember watching Heathers, which also stars Christian Slater.
Yeah.
He was doing the exact same Jack Nicholson impression, and it bugged me to no end.
I never thought about it that way, but you're not wrong. It's very similar. Yeah. How about you, Carl? What are you reading and watching?
Man, a lot of comics. Me and my girlfriend are actually re-watching This Is Us. She came into the show very late, probably around like season four. So we decided to just start it back up over again and recently. And it's, sometimes I feel like it is fun to kind of just go back and rewatch it, you know, rewatch some of these shows, because, you know, sometimes you miss a lot of details that you missed the first time, and then you're just kind of catching it. You're just catching it, and it helps you put the story together, or a lot of things that are anticipating. You're like, oh, I remember this because this is coming up. So that's definitely a one thing. And sorry.
And Jasmine has a lot to say about This
Is Us. Yeah, she sounds happy.
We try to watch it when she's asleep because we miss many details. She would miss a lot of details.
Yeah.
One movie I would definitely recommend is The Iron Claw that just came out this past December, which is the story. It's based on the true story of the famous Von Erich wrestling family, where it's like you don't necessarily really have to be a wrestling fan to enjoy this movie, but it's just, it's a family story. It's a story of a family that has went through tragedy one after another. And wrestling is just simply the backdrop. So out of like four in the movie, four brothers, only one is left. So one died through acute enteritis and the other ones have taken their own lives, unfortunately. So it's just, it's the story of that family story. And yeah, I definitely highly recommend it. Like, you don't even have to be a fan of pro wrestling just to enjoy this movie. It's available on Amazon now, but I think you could still catch it in theaters, I believe.
How about you, Dave? What are you watching and reading?
Oh my gosh.
Putting you on the spot.
We were talking about books that are all vibes, like all vibes, no plot, before we started recording. And the one that I think fits the bill for me, it's called Jonathan Abernathy, You Are Good. And the author's name is escaping me. But the premise is it feels a little bit like autonomous in a way, because this guy, Jonathan Abernathy, gets a job where he goes in and audits people's dreams so that they can get good sleep, so that they can be more productive workers when they awake. So it's like kind of like a weird dystopian world. He's supposed to go in and kind of like, you know, if there's a nightmare, you know, call someone in to basically clean up the nightmare. The reason it's kind of all vibes is Jonathan Abernathy is just kind of this sad sack, like, dope of a man. And he's not a very likable character, but you have a lot of sympathy for him because he's just kind of like, well, I'm doing this job and this is the thing that I'm doing. And then it turns out that obviously the like dream cleaning is not really all that it seems. That's a giant corporation that's kind of using the cleaned up nightmares to do terrible things. But that's not really part of the book. It's happening, but it like happens to the Jonathan Abernathy, but it's a little more about how he is just sort of dreaming himself through his life. And, you know, kind of like, well, I'm going to go do this job. And then he sort of has a relationship with someone that he kind of screws up because he's not really paying attention to it. So it's more like he's a sleepwalker in his life and then goes to sleep and he's working while he's asleep to, you know, audit these dreams. So it's a really weird book, but a weird in a great way that I loved. Things don't end up well. That's just, you know, not to spoil anything, but things don't go well for Jonathan Abernathy, but a lot to think about. And yet, not much of a plot, all vibes, for sure.
That does sound really good.
Yeah.
I looked it up and it's by Molly McGee.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So when I was on Codex Prime, Victor had asked me what books were like all vibes, because I believe it started when we were talking about Tree of Life, which is a movie that is pretty much all vibes. And in the moment, I couldn't really think of anything. I mentioned Atessa Moshfegh as an author just in general. I really love her. And her book, My Year of Rest and Relaxation, is a pretty vibey book. There's not a whole lot of plot. It's basically a woman who experiences some trauma, and she decides that she's going to sleep for an entire year. And basically she gets a year's worth of sleeping pills from her therapist and sets it up with her friend who's an artist. She makes a deal with him. He's allowed to film her while she sleeps as long as he brings her pizza and Gatorade and like whatever, like toilet paper, whatever her house needs during this year of her just sleeping. So she just sleeps, she wakes up, she'll eat some pizza, drink some Gatorade, and go back to sleep. And that's an entire year. It's a very depressing book, but they are vibes. They're depressing vibes, but they're vibes. But I also thought about the fact that one of the reasons why I don't love Tree of Life is because it's like a slice of life movie. And I just generally don't like movies that don't have like much of a plot. So I was like, what are some books that I don't like because they're slice of life books? And I thought immediately of The Sun Also Rises and On the Road, which are two books that most people love those books. So they're probably really good books. They're just not my cup of tea, but they're both very like, it's just traveling around and like vibes of places. So those might be some books that you might enjoy.
I actually did read The Sun Also Rises by, it was Hemingway, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Oh.
Yeah. I tried. I was like, because I felt like, I was like, I've never read a Hemingway book. I want to sit down and read one of his novels. I did. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's enough for me.
I feel the same way about both of those books, The Sun Also Rises and On the Road. It's just like a lot of going back and forth between places and not much else happening. And I felt frustrated for both of them. I was just like, do something. Do something other than like every time they got dissatisfied with a place, they just went to the other place, which I'm sure has its own, like, you know, there are metaphorical connotations and stuff like that. But just as a reader, I was like, I'm all set. This is not interesting.
I agree.
I'm trying to think of like what's going on in theaters right now.
Yeah, the last movie I saw in theaters was Poor Things.
I saw that too.
Yeah. Oh, what did you think of it?
I really liked it. I usually am pretty lukewarm on Yorgos Lanthimos films, but I thought, I mean, and everyone said like this is probably his most accessible, but also the one he definitely had the biggest budget for. And I feel like he kind of had more fun with it, maybe. And it was a more fun movie in general than his movies usually are. So I really liked it. And I love Emma Stone. So
yeah. Yeah. I also really liked Poor Things as well. That's definitely probably my favorite Yorgos Lanthimos film, because I've seen a handful of his movies. Like Dogtooth was insane, which I enjoyed. The Favorite I also enjoyed. The Lobster I didn't really care for. It was too dry for my taste. But Poor Things, that's it. I know, speaking of theaters, I know this weekend I do plan on seeing Dune Part 2.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I've been really looking forward to since it was supposed to come out last fall, but because of the writer's strike and actor strike, it was delayed.
That makes sense. Did you guys all like Dune 1?
Oh, I loved it.
I haven't seen it.
That's fair.
it's a gorgeous looking film. Like if you love sci-fi, like that's what I highly recommend.
It was really good. I remember it was pretty long. It was definitely beautifully shot, and I feel like I need to look up a like summary of what actually happened in it because it was so long ago before I see the next one. But we do want to go see it for sure.
Yeah, wasn't that about two years ago when that movie came out?
I think so.
It was 2021.
Yeah, because we watched it on New Year's Eve because we had friends who were going out on New Year's Eve and we were still concerned about getting COVID. So it was like at the point where we were still like, should we be with a crowd right now? So that's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
Oh, glad we're way past that one.
And we can have our podcast meetups and hang out again.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And you guys got to go to the next one whenever Chris and Nathan arrange that.
Absolutely.
And I'll bring Nate.
There you go.
You saw him at least. Right. He's not invisible. He exists. Right.
And you talked to him about starting that podcast.
Yes. I'm trying to I feel like there was a movie that I watched recently that was like a really good movie. Oh, Killers of the Flower Moon. Have you guys seen that?
Victor, I do want to see that. I gotta wait till that's available on streaming and when it's not so late and Jasmine's asleep.
Yeah,
it's a long one.
Yeah, it's 3.5 hours. It's a testament to Scorsese's direction and Thelma Schoolmaker, the editor, that at least for me, it didn't feel like 3.5 hours because I watched it in the theater. I was like, oh my gosh, it's wrapping up. But it's definitely a tough story, a tough narrative, but just incredibly powerful. And Lily Gladstone, she's walking away with the Best Actress Oscar for sure, because she's already swept the award circuit so far, and well deserved too, I might add.
It is Oscar season, so I think Vic and I have another bet coming up.
All right.
We'll have like an Oscars bet, and we'll see which one of us has the most predictions correct, and the losing person would have to watch a movie of the other person's choosing. So I have a couple in mind.
Melissa is already she's already done with Victor movies. I'll tell you that. She is done. I lost the bit for the video game awards, so I had to watch Beau's Afraid, and she's like walking by rolling her eyes right now.
Oh man.
She doesn't have to. I always tell her that you do not have to watch these with me. But she toughs it out and she does. But I think after Beau's Afraid, she's just done.
Yeah. When I was on Codex Prime, it was before I had seen that movie. And I remembered, Victor, you said the metaphor for an absentee father just like smacks you in the face. And I was like, the whole movie I was watching it and I was like, I wonder what it's going to be. And then I was like, there it is.
Well, here's the thing that Victor, he hyped up the Always Be My Baby scene. He's like, you'll never listen to that song the same ever again. So I'm like, all right, I already knew it was going to be like a sex scene. And then boom, there it is. I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is kind of it. And then the absentee father thing, I'm like, now that's just like, he didn't mention that. He knew what he was doing. But
yeah, he buried the lead.
That. And it was good that he did, that he didn't, because I don't think that's something I would want to anticipate. But then, sorry, it hits you in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's 3 hours of absurdist anxiety from Joaquin Phoenix. It's great.
After that, she was done. She is scarred. Like, she's actually praying right now. I was like, I hope he stopped recommending any movies to them.
My watching is, you know, I think I'm one of the Marvel kids who was really into the Marvel movies, and I've definitely started to cool on them. You know, in terms of, it makes me feel like they're more like comic books in that you don't necessarily have to catch all of them, and you can kind of think one is a bit of a dud. You know, it's kind of like, I don't like this author and artist together. I don't like this movie necessarily. And so you just skip it, like you might skip a book. I've recently watched the Marvels, the latest one. And talking about long movies, that was a short movie, an hour and 40 minutes. They could have added 20 or 30 more minutes and I think really done something really good with that movie. It had so many good like moments, but then some parts just felt rushed. Like the end was just like, oh, that's it. Like, this is over now. But I had a lot of fun watching it. It was entertaining. So
that's what it was. And it was definitely entertaining. I enjoyed like Kamala Khan's family the most.
Oh my God. Yes.
They were hilarious to me.
Yes.
And it was just like, you know what? All right, they're okay. I mean, yep. they're all right. But, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to like Deadpool and Wolverine and,
yeah,
you know, what they got going on next. So I'm a Marvel guy. I've always, like, ever since I was a little kid, like with the TV, with the cartoons and the comics and stuff.
Yeah.
I just for some reason, I just always related to Marvel characters more than DC. Nothing against them. You know, I kind of grown to say, you know, the tribalism sucks. You know what? Like, if people like DC, let them, you know. Just,
right. No, yeah, absolutely. But I've been a Peter Parker kid since, you know, the early 90s. And just, it's great having seen myself, you know, in a nerdy Peter Parker. And to kind of have that moment. And now for it to be for so many other people. So like Kamala Khan, it's like, because, you know, there's a nerdy Pakistani kid who's going to relate to that character, or Miles Morales. It is for everybody. And so like the Spider-Verse movies, those have been the best of the, you know, the past forever.
We was just on Reels of Justice and we did a court. It was Into the Spider-Verse versus Across the Spider-Verse. And,
oh man.
But it was presented as like a courtroom setting.
Uh-huh.
And I still don't know how like I made it through that episode.
Same.
Yeah. So hard, but it was so much fun. And I think one of the things that was about, you know, very special about, first of all, this episode is out. The episode just was released today. And big shout outs to, you know, Rob Maynard and Ryan and Ben for, it was just such a great time too as well. Mm. So, but yeah, that was dope. We had to have another Zoom conversation just to, just to vet how difficult it was, how difficult yet fun it was.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause like, they were on the ball and like I was trying to compile as many notes as I could, like on that the day of when I was at work. Mm-hmm. And so like when they were responding, I would just like be on my laptop, because we did it on Zoom, and I was just like, okay, they were saying this, okay, I can refute this, I can respond to this, all right. And yeah, I did my very best, and as did Carl, but man, they kept us on our toes in a good
absolutely. I compare that moment to when, if you can recall, the episode of Fresh Prince where Will and Carlton were taken to court by Uncle Phil because they wasn't paying a rent.
I do remember that. Yeah.
That was us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I haven't seen Fresh Prince in so long. Is it streaming somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
Max and Hulu, I believe.
Yep.
I have to check it out. I have Hulu. Oh, and I actually, if you wanted to get Killers of the Flower Moon on streaming, you can subscribe to Apple TV for a month like I did, and then we canceled the subscription because we were like, hey, $9.99 is not a bad price to see a movie.
Right.
Yeah,
I think I do have Apple TV for free because
it's on there.
I just never used it.
That's fair. Yeah, we watched that, and now we've been binging Ted Lasso while we have the month subscription. Mm. So that, because everyone keeps saying, like, you got to watch Ted Lasso. And we're like, we don't have Apple TV. So now we signed up for it for a month. We're binging all of it. It's really good so far. I don't know if you guys have seen it at all.
I've been hearing a lot of good things. Like, I really enjoyed the NBC Sports short that they did for the upcoming soccer season that year, where that show has stemmed from. And I was like, once I learned that they made a show, I just never had a chance to like sit down and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even like soccer, but I'm not like a sports person in general. But the show is so good. I've never seen a show. No offense to present company, but I've never seen a show with such a male cast that is so emotionally intelligent. Yeah. It's like, it's such a good show that it took until like the second season where I was like, there's really only like two female characters in the show. Like, it's really weird that I'm so invested in it. That's usually not the case for me, but yeah.
Severance is also really good while you have Apple TV. Check that out. Yeah, that and Scott. That.
Oh, I love him. I love Parks and Rec, so.
Yeah.
Parks and Rec is your comfort show?
Yes.
Where it's like, you just have the TV on as like some background noise to whether you're like doing some computer work or cleaning the house or whatever.
Yeah, that's Parks and Rec for me. And like, if I can't fall asleep or something like that, like that's the show I put on because I've seen it so many times. I don't need to like invest in the plot. I can just fall asleep.
Yep. That's The Office for me and AMC's Comic Book Man.
Nice.
Or Fresh Prince. There's a couple of comfort shows I have.
Well, what were you going to say, Lauren? Probably the same thing I was about to say.
I was probably going to say the same thing you were going to say. You can go ahead.
We're professionals. So while we're wrapping up, is there anything else that you'd like to mention we haven't had a chance to touch on here?
Honestly, not that I can think of. And I already know once we wrap up, go our separate ways, it's going to hit me then.
Right.
Well, I'll tell the good people. Please, 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 more than ever, support your local libraries.
Absolutely.
because they do great work. And, you know, nowadays with the craziness about book bans and all this other, you know, political ridiculousness and rigmarole, you know, it's very important that people just go out there and, you know, just, you know, libraries are excellent places. They're one of the few places nowadays where you can go without the expectation of having to spend money. You can borrow books, you can borrow films, all sorts of materials. And it's a wonderful place to bring your kids or your nieces or nephews. So, yeah, support your local libraries. You know, you don't have to, you know, I mean, bookstores are great. Don't get me wrong, but you don't have to go to Barnes & Noble every time you're in a reading mood, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Save some money.
Thank you. July or November.
Oh, yes, yes. July or November, because that's the Criterion Collection sale, which for me, Christmas comes three times a year. There's actual Christmas, and then there's July and November.
And I also wanted to mention, because I don't know if you guys know about this, but if your library has Canopy, it's a free streaming app through the library. And they have a lot of documentaries. They have, I think they just recently partnered with BBC, so they have a lot of BBC stuff. Mm-hmm. And they also have a lot of A24 stuff, which I know Victor likes. So I wanted to make sure that was on your radar if it wasn't already.
Yeah. Canopy is an excellent service. Just last night, I watched the new Oscar-nominated documentary, Four Daughters, which is an excellent documentary. I highly recommend. It's about this Tunisian woman whose two oldest daughters go missing, and then she hired two actresses to play her oldest daughters, as well as another actress to play her, and so they can like reenact like scenes or like moments from from their family. And so like the film's kind of like a blend of like real life documentary, and then like there's some scenes where the two youngest daughters act with the or speak to like the two actresses playing their oldest sisters, and it's like they're like kind of like revisiting memories, like some past traumas, kind of exploring like that void that their two sisters left behind for disappearing, and you learn why they disappeared. And yeah, it's a powerful documentary, and it's my pick to win for best documentary. That's the one that I hope wins in that category.
Sounds really interesting.
Yep, it's called Four Daughters. and it's on Canopy.
Awesome.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. By the way, we've really enjoyed this, and it's always fun chatting with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us. This is fun. Got to do it again.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
This time we'll have Dave on Codex.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. You can find Codex Prime and Do the Film Thing wherever you find your podcasts, and you can follow them on social media at Codex Prime Podcast and at Do the Film Thing. Rhode Radio is proud to be a resident partner of the Rhode Island Center for the Book and brought to you by library staff and community members all around the Ocean State.
The project has been funded in part by grants from the Rhode Island Council for the Humanities, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the American Library Association. You can find more from Rhode Radio on Facebook and Instagram. And if you enjoyed today's episode, subscribe to Rhode Radio and rate or review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to help us reach more Rhode Islanders. And Jasmine.
Yep. Awesome. And it's about her bedtime, too.